You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Thanks, Al. Thanks to everybody for coming along on the ride here today on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in just a moment. And Andrew on the other side of the glass here today. Greetings. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I got your phone. I rescued your phone from the studio today.
Yes, you did. Didn't realize I didn't have it on me, and then I kind of freaked out when I saw it.
And as soon as was your ringer on, though?
It was not.
Okay. Because I could just imagine what would have happened if I didn't notice it. Then all of a sudden, you know, your ringtone goes off, and I go, what?
You go, what? I look down at my watch and realize, oh, my phone's in there, and that's going off, so I have to quickly shut that off.
Oh, I would have gone, blah, 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 here, here. But we averted disaster.
Yes, we averted disaster.
Great to have you with us
today.
Mark Dukes from his back porch in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids joining us here on a Thursday edition. How you doing?
Hey, good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Andrew and everyone out there. And Andrew, I'm not real young, but your watch tracks your phone?
It's more of I have an Apple Watch, and so they're just connected. Yeah. So, like, any notification that would go to my phone can go to my watch, too.
Aren't you brilliant?
I'm not the brilliant one. I'm not the one who made it.
Probably 95% of our listeners knew that, but I didn't.
Hey, well, I'm one of the 5%. No, I knew, they connect, so I guess
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not off to a good start. We got a great show, though, coming up for you. Colton Bartholomew is going to join us here in about 10 minutes. He covers the Wisconsin Badgers for the Wisconsin State Journal. And we will talk about the new look, high octane Wisconsin Badgers. As I say, get ready to entertain the Hawkeyes on Saturday at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison. And then the coach, Kevin Lehman, is going to join us. It is about that time of the year, ladies and gentlemen. We are less than 30 days away from college basketball season getting underway, about 3.5 weeks or so. And it is the time for media days. And we'll talk a little hoops. What's going to happen in Iowa City, Ames, Des Moines, Cedar Falls, MVC, Big 10, Big 12, we'll talk about it. His thoughts about the amazing punishment that was handed down to Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks. We'll do all that with the coach, Kevin Lehman, and we'll have a Bowling Night in America recap for you here on the Gym Class for a Thursday, which is, as always, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. They are online at dupaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to that website and checking them out at dupaco.com. Text line and the phone line available to you at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600 here on a Thursday in eastern Iowa. A little bit rainy, a little bit overcast, a little bit chilly here today. That means we've got football tonight for you. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Denver Broncos from Arrowhead Stadium in KC. 6:30 here on 1600 ESPN and our FM stations as well. It sounds like Travis Kelce will play tonight after the ankle injury against the Minnesota Vikings, and that will make one spectator very happy, Mark, at Arrowhead tonight.
Yeah, well, none other than Taylor Swift scheduled to be in attendance. So, that's good for Amazon Prime, huh?
So Taylor is not questionable. Travis is questionable.
Yeah, just, well, I don't know about that.
Just keep that in mind. I'm borrowing a Jim Nance line from last time he did the Chiefs game. But I changed it around a little bit, so there are no trademark violations as far as that is concerned. So we'll have the Chiefs and the Broncos coming up tonight for you here on 1600 ESPN. We have the potential of all of the divisional series in baseball being done tonight as well, Mark. Philadelphia and Atlanta will go at it in game number 4 in what has been, I think, the most charged series so far. Jace, basically due to the fact that it's just fun to watch Bryce Harper and Ronald Acuna go at it with their little stares and vibes and jabs, et cetera, et cetera. And, oh, by the way, Philadelphia with a chance to close out the Braves and put us in a situation with an all-Texas American League Championship Series that is already established. That will get underway over the weekend. And then a chance to have the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Philadelphia Phillies going at it in the National League after Arizona dismissed the L.A. Dodgers in a sweep last night. That coming at Chase Field in Phoenix. And man alive. And talk today, speculating, swirling around, is Dave Roberts in trouble as the manager of the L.A. Dodgers? Mark, can you fire a manager of a team that has won 100 games in a row in the regular season 3 straight years?
Most observers say no, and I would agree with that. In addition to that, Clayton Kershaw questioning his future in baseball and with the Dodgers. And yeah, that the funniest thing about the postseason is this Bryce Harper and I believe it's Orlando Arcia.
Yes. Well, Acuna's in there too.
But their mutual admiration society and Harper staring down Arcia twice after hitting home runs last night. And Harper says it's all in fun after Arcia said some things a couple games ago that, you know, when Harper had the base running mistake, kind of made fun of Harper.
Which I don't think was a mistake. I think he had to go because he had to score. I do not think it's a mistake.
Well, the thing about it is Arcia thought anything he said in the locker room was off limits. And when the locker room opens to the media, there's nothing off limits. So it's probably much ado about nothing, but it's going to be something if the Phils do win tonight. And then you have the Braves and the Dodgers. You know, we had them pegged for the National League Championship Series, both gone.
319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment about baseball. It comes down to this in the short. Of course, now that the Dodgers are out and the Braves are on the brink, everybody wants to do the 2023 thing. And we need to absolutely gut and change the playoffs the way they are done because the two teams we wanted to be there are not going to be there. Grumble, grumble. Listen, it comes down to this in a short series in baseball. It's pitching and defense, ladies and gentlemen. And the Dodgers lost their pitching this year. They just had injury after injury. They tried to put in my estimation as a White Sox fan, a very ugly Band-Aid over it with Lance Lynn. And look what happened last night. As soon as Clayton Kershaw had the outing he did in game number 1, you had a feeling the Dodgers were in bad shape and behind the 8-ball. Yes, they have a very good bullpen, but you can't go to the bullpen for a 9-inning game and have things turn out the way it did. Dodgers, I don't know if Clayton Kershaw is going to be back. It's not a Clayton Kershaw. Certainly that is the Clayton Kershaw 5 years ago. And quite frankly, he might not be back, and I don't think that's a bad thing. As far as the Dodgers are concerned, listen, the Dodgers, Walker Buehler, get him back, get him healthy, and some of the other starters are going to be fine. I don't think Clint Kershaw is going to be back in Dodger blue next year, Mark.
Yeah, I think it's kind of doubtful, but you know what? Dave Roberts can't pitch and he can't hit and he can't catch the ball. There's only so many things that a manager can do. And sometimes they do make mistakes. There's no question about it. But as far as the Dodgers go, I think you're quite right. When Kershaw got bombed in that first game, it took a lot of air out of the balloon. The Diamondbacks take two on the road, and brimming with confidence last night, hit six home runs in the game. And now the Diamondbacks are riding a wave of success, and where it leads, we'll see. But I think that Rangers and Astros is going to be a heck of a series. And
I agree.
I don't know who I'd pick. I want some time to digest that after the Astros clinched last night. But I think that's going to be a great series.
Yeah. And hats off to your Twins, Mark. They had a good season. Accounted themselves very well. Won a playoff series for the first time in over two decades. You can't be – I know you're disappointed, but you can't be upset.
No, not at all. I thought it was a very fun season. I watched most of the games, as you know. Listened some last night, and it was just – I mean, how can you not feel good about what the Twins did and what they may do in the future? And that's a game they could have won last night. It's a game that they have won many times this past year, coming from behind, one-run game. It was a two-run game and another loss. That was winnable as well. But by and large, it just was a fun season. I accept it. And Houston is really tough. I mean, between the pitching and the lineup, your boy Abreu coming through for Houston, and he just adds to, the production of that team.
Yeah. 319-366-1600, and we are going to talk Wisconsin football with Colton Bartholomew coming up here, and Andrew's going to get him on the horn here, and we're going to speak with one of the beat writers for the Wisconsin State Journal as Iowa and Wisconsin will go at it. Forecast is not looking very nice in Madison for Saturday afternoon into Saturday evening. About 50 degrees, rain, and above all, wind, Mark. They're calling for 15 to 20 mile per hour winds, maybe gusting to about 30 during the football game on Saturday. So that's not conducive to two offenses that really don't put a lot of points on the board, but we'll see.
Yeah, not conducive for viewers either at Camp Randall, but I think they're probably used to it up there, and that weather, if it holds, could really change the game plans of both teams.
Indeed, and we're going to talk about that now. Colton Bartholomew, kind enough to join us, covers the Wisconsin Badgers for the Wisconsin State Journal, and he joins us here in Eastern Iowa at 3:17. Colton, thanks for the time. Appreciate it, and we were just talking about the weather forecast up in Madison on Saturday. It's not looking real pleasant, is it?
Yeah, the rain's already starting. It's supposed to last for a couple of days here. It's starting to look like maybe around kickoff will lighten up, so maybe it's going to be okay. And the Badgers play on turf, so that'll be a little bit of a dicey situation if it's just been rain-soaked. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting factor in the game for sure.
Oh, that'll be, wind and rain. I don't know how that could stop two offenses like this, especially in on the Iowa side of things, right? Ha-ha.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what about this new-look Wisconsin program with Luke Fickell coming in? The honeymoon phase, I think, is still going, but I guess other than Washington State and that trip up to the Palouse, so far so good, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that fans were hoping for a little bit more explosion from this offense and hoping that the passing game was going to be a little bit more productive than it's been so far. But I think what we've seen when we watch these first five games is, I was of the mind that defenses were basically going to say, we'll have Braylon Allen, we're going to load up against that and make you prove the passing game. It's actually kind of gone the opposite. They've backed off. A lot of teams have been keeping two high safeties, and it's really opened up things in the run game to a degree. I think explosion has been missing both in the passing game and the run game, but overall, I think you've seen Tanner Mordecai week by week realize, like, to, for this team to be at its best, he's going to have to run some at the quarterback position. He's going to have to do really well with the RPOs and some of the read things that he has to try to take advantage of what the defense is doing. So I think it's maybe taken a little bit longer than fans were hoping for, but I see some seeds being planted here that maybe in the last 6-7 weeks that the Badgers get going a little bit more. Maybe not this week just because Iowa's defense is so good and just so good at making teams grind out drives. But I think as the Badgers move forward here, there's going to be a little bit more of that explosion and big play ability like I'm talking about.
Colton, Wisconsin has had a long history of outstanding running backs and running games now with Longo in there and Luke Fickell. Elements of the air raid are being implemented, maybe a little bit slowly, but explain to folks out there what that means for the Badger offense.
Yeah, so, I mean, it looks a lot different, obviously. You know, they run 11 personnel, so one tight end, one running back, and three receivers pretty much every play, unless it's a short yardage or goal line situation. Everything's out of shotgun, so nothing is under center, really. I think they've run two plays out of center, and they were kneel downs. So it's just a completely different look. But then when you snap the ball, a lot of the plays look similar. It's a lot of the zone blocking that Wisconsin's done for so long, a lot of power and gap stuff that, you strip away the formation it's in, the base play itself looks pretty similar. But the biggest change is in the passing game. The stuff that they're doing with slot receivers and trying to use them as an extension of the run game, just getting out of the ball, getting out of the quarterback's hands really quickly, trying to get catch after or run after catch for these receivers. It's really just a philosophical change of, using the passing game, not always looking for big plays with it, because that was what I feel like Paul Chryst's system was. Like, you pound this run game for so long, and then eventually you're able to beat a defense over the top with the passing game. This is kind of more like the passing game is going to soften up the defense and make them come up even along with the run game. That kind of – they have the same effect, and then eventually it opens up down the field. So I think the end result's kind of the same idea. It's just how you get to it is a little bit of a different change. But I know it was weird watching it in spring and throughout the fall, seeing how this team adjusted to it. And I think, especially when we get in these Big Ten games, opposing fans are like, oh, man, Wisconsin's not that throwback style anymore. It's kind of like what you see week to week across college football.
Yeah, and the Wisconsin players, from what we know anyway, have seemed to have adapted to this. And I think Braylon Allen was the guy that needed to adapt the most because, he's still got very good numbers so far. 73 carries, 472 yards, and 7 touchdowns. But, it's not the massive amounts that we've come to know over the years with the Melvin Gordons and the Danes and people like that. It's like you said, it's a different offense this year.
Yeah, and I mean, they were kind of preparing him all offseason that you look back at his first 2 years in college, he didn't finish the season well or healthy. And part of that is just the load that was asked of him as a 17, 18-year-old to handle. And I think they've been very judicious about making sure that, they keep him right around, 18 to 20 carries or 18, 20 touches a game and, try to include him in the passing game a little bit more. So it's not always he's getting tackled by multiple guys between the tackles. So he's definitely had to adjust to it a little bit more. And after that Washington State loss, there was a conversation about how much and how little he was used in that particular game. And then I think that led to a pretty frank conversation because Allen wasn't, I don't think, running as decisively as the Badgers needed. And that changed a little bit since that moment too. So I think the adjustments happened pretty well. I think he enjoys the fact that defenses aren't as loaded in the box and he's got more chances to make some big plays. It's just making those happen on a game-to-game, snap-to-snap basis maybe hasn't been as consistent as he was hoping for.
Iowa got its running game going a little bit against Purdue, but Deacon Hill was not good by any means. Now he returns to a place where he once had residence. He's expressed nerves against Purdue. He's going to have nerves against Wisconsin. I can't imagine him not. But one of the statistics I look at it with Wisconsin is his pass defense, at least statistically, ranking 99th in the country and last in the Big Ten. What's going on to that?
Yeah, one part of it is they've switched. I shouldn't say switched. They've run a lot more man coverage this year in the first month and a half than they ever did under Jim Leonard. And I think part of that was just they recruited more corners and safeties that are zone type of bodies and speeds. So that's been a big adjustment. I'd really only say that cornerback Ricardo Holman has adjusted well to that in terms of just play on the field. So that's one big factor in it. I think, too, they played four straight teams that run air raid systems, so they're really reliant on the pass. So if you look at total defense, it's not that bad, but the fact that it skewed really heavily to the pass in terms of what their opponents were doing affected some of those passing defense numbers. And I think one more element to that is they don't have a star pass rusher this year. You know, they went from Zach Bond back in 2019 to Nick Herbig, and they've got all those guys that they've had the last, you know, decade plus, the Watt brothers, stuff like that. They don't have a star pass rusher this year that's consistently beating tackles and creating some pressure off the edge. They're doing it in kind of a piecemeal form. Maybe a defensive lineman steps up one week or a linebacker blitzing a little bit more from the inside, giving some help, but they don't have that one guy that can rely on to consistently get in the backfield and make quarterbacks uncomfortable. So I think all those things kind of wrap up to a little bit of a step down from what you expect from Wisconsin pass defense. But depending on how these things go here in the Big Ten season, where they're not facing as many air raid offenses, I think they might even out by the time we get to November, December.
Yeah. Colt Bartholomew of the Wisconsin State Journal joining us, Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. We're just starting to learn about Deacon Hill down here in eastern Iowa anyway. And what do you know about the Wisconsin Deacon Hill when he was in Madison? He had a lot of great things to say about the Wisconsin program. There is no backlash or anything like that. He just said it was time for a change.
Yeah, I mean, from what I know about the guys that know him a little bit while he was here, everybody liked Deacon Hill a lot. And, you know, part of the reason, or actually probably the biggest reason he came to Wisconsin was John Budmeyer, who's now, you know, the special assistant to Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. So when Budmeyer left before Deacon Hill got on campus, that kind of changed some things for him in terms of this guy that he was really close with and really connected with wasn't there. And then he kind of shifted to Paul Christ was his guy. And then obviously Paul gets fired last season after the loss to Illinois. So I think all of that kind of wrapped up into probably wasn't going to have the best future, best chance to play here going forward with all the changes that looked like they were going to happen offensively. And then he gets to the portal and Budmeyer is at Iowa, and then that opportunity kind of clicked for him. So I think personally that all kind of made sense, and that all tracked for how he got to Iowa. On the field, what we kind of learned about him was this guy's got a cannon. Everybody that you talk to, that's the first thing they kind of reference is his ability, even flat-footed, to throw it 50, 60 yards without a whole lot of effort. And then, you know, finding out ways that can stretch your defense and affect what a defense can use against you when they know they've got to cover deep pretty much every play. That was something that they really appreciated defensively because he ran the scout team as a freshman back in 2021. So they said that he was probably one of the better guys that they faced throughout the year, and games included, at throwing the deep ball and challenging him that way. So that was kind of his experience here. And I know talking to guys this week getting ready for this game is they're all excited to see him again because he was a well-liked guy. And like you said, there wasn't any animosity when he left. It was kind of just, you know, find the right spot for you. And now it's here's the rivalry game, and here's the guy you like under center for the other side.
All right, Colton, last for me, make a case for Wisconsin to win and a case for Iowa to win.
Yeah, so my thing for Wisconsin is I just feel like there's more talent at a lot of the key positions. I think Mordecai is the better quarterback. I think Allen's the better running back. And not that either O-line is quite what you expect maybe from these programs in terms of their dominating of the offensive line, but still I think I still favor Wisconsin's a little bit more. So in that respect, I think Wisconsin, plus being a home game for them, this series seems to flip depending on where the game is played. I think it's the last four games in the series have been won by the home team. So I think all those things kind of favor Wisconsin, and that'd be kind of my case for them. And then Iowa, I mean, defensively, this team is so sound and has so much talent in, you know, DeJean and Nupup on the back end. Like, there's a lot of opportunity to create some turnovers, especially if Wisconsin's got to throw the ball a little bit more. So, you know, it's that classic Iowa recipe, right? Like defense getting some turnovers, a special teams play here and there, kind of flip field position, and then the offense does just enough. So I think Wisconsin's got the larger margin for error on Saturday, but I think Iowa still has a chance if things kind of play their way. And you look at last year's game as an example, like neither offense was all that effective, but Wisconsin or Iowa really won it with special teams play and a pick six on defense.
Yeah. For good or for bad, this has been kind of the bell cow game in the Western Division all through the existence of divisional play after Legends and Leaders. And how can we not remember back to Legends and Leaders, remembering things today? But for good or for bad, this has kind of been it. And this is kind of, even though these two teams are going to continue to play, thank goodness, as far as protected rivalries in the new look Big Ten, for good or for bad, this has kind of been the game everyone's pointed to every year. And I'm glad it's going to continue, but this is kind of the end of an era, if you will.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it's kind of even started this year, because it used to be Wisconsin and Iowa. You're looking kind of in a mirror against yourselves, and who's going to be the tougher team, who wins the line of scrimmage, and who's going to be able to run the ball better. That stuff was like really the determining factor. And now Wisconsin going to this air raid kind of blended system, it's kind of like Iowa's playing a regular team week to week that they see throughout college football. So you're right, the era is ending where this is kind of the heavyweight clash here in the West, and then the era is ending where they're running the same system. So it's definitely a weekend of transition a little bit, and then it's just going to be kind of a wild scene throughout the next few years here in the Big Ten when you get these new schools in here.
Yeah, I would agree. It's going to be interesting, and hopefully the weather will hold a little bit, and hopefully the students will get there in time. Camp Randall. Never know how it plays out. Yeah. Hey, Colton, thanks for the insight. Appreciate it. Continue the great work with the Wisconsin State Journal, and we'll talk again soon.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Colton Bartholomew joining us here on the gym class on KGYM at 3:31. It is the end of an era. We're not going to see a fullback on the field very many times on Saturday, Mark.
Maybe for either team. It is a changing of guard and philosophy at Wisconsin, and be interesting to see how Iowa defends that offense.
Iowa hasn't been using the fullback nearly as much as they have done in the past as well. So, boy... I think you're going to have single-digit plays, unless something really goes haywire for Iowa, or they just start moving it downfield in that fashion and just stay that way. You're going to have less than 10 plays. There's going to be a fullback in an Iowa-Wisconsin game. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. 51-65 saying good about the weather. Good thing both teams are known for throwing the ball. Sarcasm in there. We got that. Going to get it to you, Mark, before we get it to the coach, Kevin Lehman, for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by the great folks at Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. They're open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. And big thanks to Jamie and Chris. And, of course, Dave, we'll talk with tomorrow with the Emil's Hideaway pick six. But looking forward to that, giving somebody out there a chance to win a $30 gift card from Emil's Hideaway. And what do we have on a Thursday scoreboard?
The Las Vegas Aces really didn't need her, but Kia Stokes of Linmar provided some nice offense, scoring 8 points, including 2 3-point goals and 7 rebounds in 30 minutes, as Las Vegas beat New York by 28 and took a 2-0 series lead, could clinch it on Sunday. Ben Arn, the PGA Tour player, has been suspended for 3 months by the PGA Anti-Doping Committee. He took a cough medicine with a substance in it that is banned. It's available in South Korea and recommended to him by his mother. Former Solon standout Cam Miller, now of North Dakota State, has been ranked the top quarterback in FCS by 24/7 Sports at the midpoint of the season. He He has the highest grade of any FCS quarterback at this point. And finally, as we segue into the segment with Kevin Lehman, St. Mary's has been picked to win the West Coast Conference over Gonzaga, granted by a mere 1 point, but a departure from the norm. These two teams tied for the conference championship last year. Of course, Gonzaga went to the Elite Eight, but a little bit of a segue to Kevin Lehman.
About the golf, first of all, Lexi Thompson has teed off in the first round in Las Vegas, Mark, trying to become, what, since the 1950s, to make a cut, or even before that on a PGA Tour event. Knocked it within 9 feet on number one, but missed the putt there. But going to have to go low, obviously. So best of luck to Lexi Thompson. The Ben Ahn situation is very interesting because it's not like he went out and got a banned substance that, oh my gosh, this thing is, the worst thing in the world. You got to listen to your mother, right? You got to listen to your mom when she says, take this if you're sick.
Well, he took his medicine, so to speak, and admitted his error, but it was hardly performance-enhancing drugs.
No, and this is the equivalent of the NCAA's findings on Kansas a couple days ago, because Ben Ahn's in the top 50 of the PGA Tour from a year ago. So he's in all the events next year, and December 1 is when this probationary period ends. So he's not going to be able to play in the four events in the fall that are left, I believe, and probably wouldn't any. It doesn't do him any good. So it's kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah, we're going to have to suspend you, but you're going to be back next year.
Yeah, it's like a starting pitcher being suspended for 5 days when he's only going to make one start. So,
yeah, and not even that. Not even that. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. Coach Kevin Lehman will join us, and we'll take a look at media days going around, the Big Ten, the Big 12, et cetera, et cetera. Talking hoops in October. I love it. Here on the Jim Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and it is going to be a cool and windy day today. We will have some showers around at times, but we'll also have other times where it's dry and cloudy. We'll have temperatures dropping down into the mid-50s tonight, and as we head into Friday morning, we'll have a round of showers and storms moving in, and we'll have a couple of rounds of rain moving throughout the day on Friday. An isolated storm or two could be strong tomorrow, and temperatures will be held to the low 60s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Along with the crunch of leaves underfoot and the scent of smoke wisping from chimneys, fall brings with it a sense of tradition, the comforting feel of your big, cozy sweater, with a rich fragrance of secret recipe treats trailing from the oven. These are the things you can count on year after year. That's what fall means to the Dickens family. Since the 1940s, they've run Hertine & Stocker as a family business true to the classic fine jewelry store. Though it may be surprising, they still offer a layaway program. Just put down some money and pay each month until you're ready to take your piece home. Of course, it's interest-free. That's tradition, too. During fall, as you enjoy crisp apples, warm candles, and begin your holiday shopping, stop and see what's shining in those famous windows at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection runs October 16th through December 8th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Back with you on the Gym Class here on KGYM on a Thursday edition of the show. Spencer on sports next from 4 until 6. Then we've got the Thursday night game tonight from Arrowhead, where there could be a, it's going to be a windy night, could be some severe weather going through. There is a chance of that. Chiefs and the Broncos coming up this evening. And here we are in October, and we're talking basketball. I love it. The coach, Kevin Lehman, joining us here on a Thursday in Eastern Iowa. Hope you had a great summer, man.
God, I did. It's been fantastic. The leaves are starting to fall, so we know it's getting close to basketball season.
It is. And how are you doing first, by the way?
Hey, I'm doing great. Excited to get to the season. I'm kind of waiting for my schedule from the Valley and from ESPN. Kind of hitting the media days and finding out a lot of new faces because of the transfer portal, Scott and Mark, and so it's kind of like you need a roadmap to find out what some of these teams have.
Yeah, that's a very true across the country, Kevin, and it means more research for you and for fans and whatnot. As far as the Big Ten goes, it looks like Purdue and Michigan State, the odds-on favorites, but plenty of teams ready to pounce, huh?
Yeah, Purdue, Michigan State getting all the talk. You know, Purdue, boy, what a tough cross they have to bear losing to the number 16 seed. And then the comparison to what happened to Virginia Cavaliers when they came back in 2019 and won the NCAA championship after losing to a 16 seed. So if you're Purdue, I think you got to get tired of hearing that narrative. But they're loaded up front with Zach Edey. Their guards are older. They brought in a couple transfers. And Michigan State with a great recruiting class, kind of a blend of old and new for the Spartans. I think a Maryland team that's really on the uptick also. But after that, guys, I mean, I think, you know, you can take a number of these teams about starting with Maryland all the way down to number 12. And it's going to be a dogfight to see who can get NCAA tournament bids in this Big Ten.
Well, among those, the Iowa Hawkeyes and Fran McCaffrey, they had their media day earlier on this week. And for the, third straight year, Fran McCaffrey has to deal with an NBA draft choice leaving the program. And it's an Iowa team picked basically anywhere, I think, between 7th and 11th from what I've seen. Pretty consistently across the board anyway. What about this team? It's kind of void of a superstar, but there are a lot of components to this Iowa basketball team.
They're not getting much love nationally, the Hawkeyes, because of what you mentioned. They've had first-round draft picks that have gone with the Murray twins and Garza being drafted. They don't have that type of talent, NBA talent. But I think it's a team with a lot of depth, can score a lot of ways. They're going to be a really fun team to watch. They can't trip up, though, on their non-conference with that lost last year with Eastern Illinois. I just don't think they have the margin of error this year. But it'll be interesting to see who is their go-to guy, that what we call their bucket getter, late in games. It's going to be Samford, going to be Perkins. How involved will Cricky be? But a team, as Fran will tell you, they've got a lot of depth. He likes teams with depth. They're going to play fast. They're going to score a lot of points. I think they're going to beat some people they shouldn't, and they might lose a game or two that will surprise you.
Kevin, you spent a lot of time in the Missouri Valley Conference, and Cricky, you mentioned, Ben Cricky, that is, coming in from Valpo, and much-needed help up front. What type of player is he? Is he a Rebracha player? What's he like?
I tell you what, he is really skilled, Mark, and that's what I love about this. And great kid, number one. I mean, high character, quality young man. And he's from Canada, so during COVID, he was quarantined a lot during that season. And I had a good talk with him because he got into investment. So he is my personal investment consultant, Ben Cricky. And this kid is really, really intelligent and highly skilled. He's kind of an old-school guy, to answer your question, Mark. That old 17- to 19-footer, he is automatic, led the Valley in field goal percentage. He's 6'9", soft hands. You really like his skill set. Very intelligent player and can pass it. What I like about him and the Hawkeyes, you know, they do that middle ball screen. He's one of those guys that we can do what we call a short roll to the high post area. And he can catch it there and play from there because he's a great passer, and he can stroke it from that high post area. So I think he's a great addition to this Iowa team. And you're going to see all these other Valley guys that went to Power 5 teams have really played well and scored the basketball. Obviously, he won't average 19 points a game like he did in the Valley, but I think he's going to be a solid, Ben Cricky, a solid double-figure scorer for the Hawkeyes.
Before we leave Iowa, another guy that I know Fran McCaffrey really, really talked about big time at Media Day was Laji Dembele. He is the kid out of Newark, 6'8", 250-pounder, and he likes what he can bring to this team right away.
Well, you know what Coach Fran likes? The guy can make threes. He's got a post guy like Luka Garza that can step out and make threes, and that puts a lot of pressure on the defense. It's going to be interesting, Scott, because he's got some young talent up front. Dembele, also Owen Freeman, I've heard some good things about, played really well in their trip overseas. And that's another thing. You're seeing a lot of teams with overseas trips, so they've got those extra summer practices. They got some competition. They got some bonding. And a lot of teams put those off because of COVID. There was a rash of teams taking summer tours this summer. Because of the COVID backup. So you see a lot of teams with that, what we call early bonding. And it was a good chance for Fran to see what these big guys that he had can do. They're young, but there's a lot of talent there. But you know, the rigors of the Big Ten, boy, it's tough for freshman post players to come in and be consistent. That's the key. They have to have consistent production from those big frontline players that are youngsters.
Well, in the Big Ten, Northwestern was the darling team last year. Which team could it be this year? Maybe a Nebraska? What do you think?
You took the words right out of my mouth because I spent a little time with Fred Hoiberg. I was at the Coaches vs. Cancer event in Nebraska earlier this summer with Fred and Greg McDermott. And Fred really likes his team, and if you look at what they did, they came on pretty strong at the end of last year once they got healthy. So I think that's one of those teams you're going to see move up. They're going to probably be on the bubble for an NCAA tournament. Wisconsin's a team that brings a lot of people back. They've been quiet the last couple of years. So they're getting some love also, and you know Illinois is always very talented. And if you look what's happening at Maryland, they're putting a lot of talent on that roster too. This is going to be a Big Ten. And here's the problem with the Big Ten, as we know, guys. The narrative is, you look at the last 3 years, they've sent 26 teams to the NCAA tournament, and only four times have advanced past the first round. So is this the year the Big Ten is going to have some success in postseason play in the NCAA tournament? Because it's been a long time since they have a national championship, going back to 2000, Michigan State. We're hearing a lot of talk about that. How good is the Big Ten in postseason play?
Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us here. Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Media days going on. That includes Iowa State. The Cyclones, I tell you what, as one pundit put it, could have four amazingly talented freshmen step in and start to go along with Taman Lipsey. But this is T.J. Otzelberger. I think it is his most talented team, but man alive, is it young and inexperienced?
Interesting combination, because he went out and got some transfers that could shoot it in the backcourt, and the freshman, Pavlotsky, and these guys will challenge your ability to pronounce names, because he's got some guys with some great
great names on this team. But what he likes about this team, and I was at their media day yesterday, they can really shoot the three ball much better than we've seen in past teams. So he's looking for more perimeter action. He's looking for guys that can penetrate and kick. Things they struggle with the past. They've really struggled offensively with this Iowa State team, but they've been so good at the defensive end, it's carried them on. So they really like Tashaun Gilbert, the kid from UNLV. A lot of comparisons to DeAndre Kane, who came in years ago for Fred Hoiberg. And also Jones, the transfer from Buffalo, who got his career started at Indian Hills right there in Ottumwa, Iowa. Another guy like in the perimeter can shoot the threes. We've heard a lot about the freshman you mentioned, Mamet Kilovich, Bilu. Those guys are, you know, one of the top recruiting classes in the country. And PJ's concern is, can they transition? How fast they can transition into a Big 12 that has been loaded and is loaded again this year?
Well, Kansas picked to win the Big 12. Houston has taken notice, I guess. But at any rate, Kansas picked to win the Big 12 and perhaps win the NCAA championship. My question really is, you've gotten to know Bill Self pretty well over time. What's your honest reaction to what the NCAA did or didn't do to Self and Kansas this week?
I thought this was very interesting and maybe a huge waste of time. This went on for 6 years. Remember when the FBI said we have the roadmap for the NCAA basketball? They're going to take down a Final Four banner and vacate some games from an incident that happened 6 years ago. You can barely remember the names of these guys. De Silva, one guy didn't even ever play for KU. So look what he's done since this investigation started. They've won an NCAA championship. They've been in the Final Four, one they have to vacate. I think this is a Kansas team. You're talking now, Mark, that they are loaded, and most people are picking to win the Big 12 again. Bill Self, the Teflon man, it kind of rolls off his back, and they just keep going down there in Jayhawk land. I got a lot of friends down there in Kansas City, and that doesn't bother them one bit. But think about this. In this age of NIL, all the things that they're being accused of or were processed for are now legal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I've heard people say NIL stands for now it's legal.
Very true. Very true on that. Hey, Kevin, we will talk much more hoops as we get in the next few weeks or so. Looking forward to that. We'll get into you and I and Drake a little bit more, but enjoy the media day tour, and always good to talk with you, man, and we'll look forward to basketball. It's not very far away.
Oh, it's come up before you know it. I'm going to catch the Panthers practice Friday. We got media days next week for the Valley and the Big 12 in Kansas City, the Valley in St. Louis. It'll be starting here soon, guys. I know we're in the middle of football, but we got to start talking a little basketball.
Indeed, indeed. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys. You have a great day.
You too. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us here. 3:52, quick break. Come back and have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you after this here on KGYM.
Life is too short, but what makes it special? Those little moments that happen every day. Those big moments that take our breath away. But no matter the moment, you have to be healthy enough to make them. For women, that means watching our alcohol use as we age, because our bodies can't handle it like we used to. Let's put down the drink so we can savor the moments. Visit yourlifeiowa.org for more info. A message from Iowa HHS.
Getting the most for your money can help you relax. With power checking from Midwest One Bank, you may earn higher interest and ATM fee refunds by simply receiving electronic statements, making at least 15 debit card purchases that post and clear, and making at least one direct deposit, automatic debit from a third party, or bill pay transaction post and clear each qualification cycle. See MidwestOne.bank for details. Enjoy simply better banking from Midwest One Bank. Member FDIC.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
And indeed, it was Bowling Night in America last night, and this wrap-up brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. And it was a good one last night, Mark.
It was, despite being shut out the last game. It was a winning night for the Rusty Nails, winning 17-13 over Durline Scale. The Nails did slip down to second place in the standings, mostly due to a great night from JP's Pizza. But still, 112-68 at this early juncture. And a shout-out to Jeff Bruner of the Rusty Nails. Fired first 9 strikes in his second game and ended up with 288.
Got the first in the 10th. And then said he thought about it. And what's the number one rule in bowling, Mark?
Don't think about it.
Don't think. Never think. Let up a little bit on it and hit it heavy. And, yeah, so he had it going. We had another one go into the last ball in the 10th next to us.
Yeah, Darren Bloomquist, a 299 game. And 835 series to lead the parade of scorers last night. What did he leave, Scott?
10-pin, I believe.
Okay.
I think it was a 10-pin, if my memory recalls. But he had it going too. He had it going too last night. But yeah, we'll try her again next week. Union Station up next week. Good bunch of guys. And yeah, we didn't lose first. It was taken away from us last night. So we're still there. There are many, many weeks remaining and many opportunities for you if you are interested in bowling to give them a call out at May City.
Yeah, just give them a ring, 362-0136, or you can access plenty of information on the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
All right. Tomorrow we will talk Iowa, Wisconsin. We'll talk Iowa State in their game against Cincinnati as well. Look ahead to the pro weekend. Look back on maybe a Phillies clinching win tonight. Chiefs and Broncos coming up tonight as well. We'll have it at 6:30 for you from a windy Arrowhead coming up tonight here on 1600 ESPN. One final text, 0835, asking about the Iowa basketball team when we were talking about that, the media day with Kevin. Do you see this team benefiting from not having a go-to star in this team? Feels like that this group will be better than advertised the last couple of years. Kevin did address that a little bit, saying he's kind of on that same line of thinking, that even though this team does not have that superstar NBA draft choice, they're going to get up and down the court more and maybe a little bit more fun to watch. We'll see what happens when Fran McCaffrey trots out his team. I think it's going to be a fun year in hoops here in the state for both men and women. We already know the women are going to do just fine at the four schools, D1 schools in the state, but we'll see how the men will do. And it's a long season, but it gets started soon. Practice already underway. Mark, have a great night, and we will reconvene tomorrow at 3.
Sounds great. Talk then.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 until 6. Have a great night, everybody.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances?